Are Locked On Astros, your daily Houston Astros podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am Locked On Houston Astros, and I hope that you join me for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at EricTalkStros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros. Your team every day. You can get Locked On Astros on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in the car, tell your smart device played podcast Locked On Astros. So I got a very special guest, Ben DeBose. He works part-time with the Locked On Rockets podcast. He also do you still do stuff with Sports Talk 790?
Yeah, I still report on the Rockets, with Sports Talk 790, and then primarily I edit USA Today's blog covering the Rockets. So that's my main deal. However, number one, I'm an Astros fan. Number two, part of my upbringing in Houston sports, I've covered the Astros for MLB.com off and on for really 10 plus years. Going back to 2007 was my year interning under then MLB.com beat writer Allison Footer. So I've got some Astros pedigree, even though I'm full-time Rockets now.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that you really root for the Astros, and you always do some tweets during the game. So,
no doubt.
So the Astros won that game, and I don't know about you, but it was kind of one of those stressful games, and you know every postseason we're going to get some of these nail biters, but this one was one of those nail biters. It was one where Justin Verlander was on the mound, and everybody expected to win this game, and finally they did so in the 11th inning. What did you see that encouraged you about game two?
Boy, that was the most stressful I have had in a long time, and I felt like I brought it on because earlier in the day on Sunday, I noted that of the first six Astros playoff games, there were really no lead swings. There wasn't a lot of drama. Every single one, it felt as if the game was already decided by about the seventh or eighth inning. The closest you could come would be game two of the ALDS against Tampa, when you had the drama in the ninth with Osuna getting pulled for Harris. But even that, it always felt like the Astros were in control. I feel like I brought it on because, you know, six games, and I had to point that out. And then we get the ultimate in terms of so many swings, so many times in the late innings, even though no one really scored. It felt like, okay, this is the inning. The Yankees had the right part of their order up. They've got two guys on. Flip side, the Astros had some of those innings, the ninth, the at-bats they had against Chapman. I think that's one thing, by the way. The Astros saw the entire Yankee bullpen. Even though they didn't have that many big hits, they put together some long, lengthy at-bats. They got to see all of those guys. I think that can only help. Certainly the Astros bullpen, that puts them in a much better position going to Yankee Stadium than 2 years ago. We know what happened 2 years ago. They lost all three in Yankee Stadium. But I think part of it, you know, they blew that lead in game four. And then you had the likes of Ken Giles, Chris Devinsky leading the way. I think you feel a lot better after last night about Roberto Osuna, Will Harris, even Joe Smith, a really great showing. But I just think overall, it was such, you know, as you said, a stressful game, but it was such a big game. Because when you look at that result, it would have been in game one, I would have been fine with a game like that. Because, you know, if you lose game one, then it's not the end of the world, as obviously we know now. But if you would have lost that game last night, I don't know that it would have been series over, but it would have been very, very difficult. If you lose that game two and you're down 2-0 going back to New York, you have to win 2 out of 3, win the series in Yankee Stadium just to get the series back to Houston. Now, because you won that game last night, all you've got to do, you know, is win 1 out of 3, worst case, to get it back to Houston, in which, you know, assuming there's no rain out, and sounds like that could be a possibility, we'll have to wait and see. But the way it's lined up now, you know, you win 1 of those 3, and you've got, even if you're down 3-2, you've got a full rest, Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole waiting at home in game 6 and 7. And that's just a massive swing at 1-1 rather than 2-0. Now, hopefully the Astros can do better than 1 of 3 in New York. You have Gerrit Cole tomorrow, which means you should be, I'd say, at least slightly favored, although it is on the road. But that game last night, to sum it up, just so much drama because, you know, if you lose, you're in such a bad spot. now that you win, you're in what feels like, even though I know the field is the best of five series, you've got to win one there. To me, it feels like the Astros are in a good spot. And beyond just the obvious benefits, seeing the bullpen come through, I think seeing the team come through in a spot that was so high pressure, that had so much on the line for the reasons that I was just trying to explain, it's so rewarding to see the team come through on the other side, because that's the one moment we've seen it in 2017. We hadn't seen it in 2019 in terms of that game that could go either way. Who's going to make the play late? And thanks to, you know, a combination of Josh James and Carlos Correa in the 11th, it was the Astros, and hat tip to those guys.
Yeah, a lot of people have been criticizing Carlos Correa for his just not hitting, but he's always been making those defensive plays, and that's one of those guys that you kind of overlook in the as a defensive player, because you think of him as offensive player, but he's just as good at defense. But if you take a look back at Game 1 was mostly all about Tanaka and Gleyber Torres, who is 22, by the way. I don't know if you knew that, but The Yankees hit three homers in that game, and the Astros were shut out. So that game was basically out of reach early in game. Game 2, we had Justin Verlander pitch. He made one mistake. That ball landed in the bullpen off of Aaron Judge's bat. But so far, we have not seen too much from Kyle Tucker, Josh Reddick, or J.J. Reddick, if you want to call him that, and Jake Marisnik so far.
Yeah, and I would say you could throw Yordan Alvarez in there as well for this series. It seems like, especially the younger guys, the moment's a little big for them right now. Hopefully the off day will do them well. I think for some of these younger guys, quite frankly, the Alvarez and Tucker types, I think playing in Yankee Stadium might be a little bit easier, because, you know, you're used to be the enemy, so to speak. It's easier to compartmentalize. Whereas, you know, at home, you know, you feel the gas when the fans are disappointed that you don't come through. And of course, you know, even Yordan, with what he's done in the regular season, it hasn't translated to the playoffs. And so I think when you have guys like Yordan and Kyle Tucker without an extended postseason history, it becomes a lot easier to sort of get in your own head at a given game and start to expand the zone, which we've seen. Now, as far as, you know, the bottom part of the lineup, you know, Josh Reddick, Jake Marisnik, those types. I mean, there's obviously a revolving door, but that's somewhat been true all season long. The Astros are just trying, and AJ Hinch, to find the hot hand at the right time. And hopefully one of those guys gets on a hot streak over the next few days. But I think, you know, with the young players, I'm hoping that you get them in a road environment, it might actually be a little bit easier to sort of just break it down and start focusing on what you see out of the pitcher's hand, rather than thinking about, you know, the gaffes, the expectations from the fans, everything else that happens when you're at home. And so hopefully at least Yordan, and who knows, maybe Kyle Tucker gets another look as well. But, you know, to go back to Correa, I think that's the real highlight of game 2. Certainly he had the walk-off home run. But besides that, Eric, I think, you know, the defense has always been there, but that's something, you know, I said earlier Sunday after I had a bad game 1, you know, you look back to Correa a year ago in the 2018 postseason when he was coming off the back injury. His defense was pretty good, but it was at the plate where, even though he did have a few singles going opposite field, the back injury clearly zapped him of his power. He couldn't turn on the ball. And that's why, you know, first off, the walk-off home run, which went pretty deep into the right field at Minute Maid Park. I mean, that was great. I was just as encouraged by that double he had, which was the first Astros run of the game, because he turned on the pitch, hooked it sharply down the left field line. That's what he does when he's healthy. You know, he's always able, because he's so smart. He knows the zone. You know, you touched on his defense. Those are things that Carlos Correa, even when he's limited by the back, he can do. The question is, what the back took away from him last year, can he turn on pitches? Can he drive? We saw that certainly the opposite field home run, but also the double he yanked down the left field line. To me, that's encouraging. He said after the game that he thinks his timing is coming back. That's a really, really good development, because obviously, you know, Carlos Correa, when he's healthy, can be a superstar player. But also, it's sort of the thing, you know, if one of these young guys, or both, like the Alvarez and Tuckers that we were talking about, if these guys can't figure it out for whatever reason, then all of a sudden getting the Carlos Correa from, say, a couple of years ago back, that can more than offset that. And hopefully, that's what the Astros will have going into game 3 on Tuesday at Yankee Stadium.
All right, guys, we're going to have to take a short break. But when we get back, I want to ask Ben this question. Could the Astros do what the Red Sox did to us last year? Remember how we won game 1 of the ALCS? Then they came back and basically swept the rest of the series. So you've been listening to the Locked On Astros podcast. Remember, get the show every day. Subscribe to Locked On Astros on the new Himalaya podcast app or Apple Podcasts. Download Himalaya to App Store. Subscribe to Locked On Astros. Listen in your car to or from work every day. The postseason is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Do you have tickets for Game 6 and 7 of the ALCS? Well, what about the World Series tickets when they come out? Well, you can go to Vivid Seats and get all those seats whenever you want to. With Vivid Seats, you can find your favorite seats at your favorite live event. Vivid Seats offers great prices and easy purchase experience, as well as in-app loyalty programs. With reward statuses ranging from MVP to Hall of Famer, customers can earn between 10% and 16% credit on all their purchases through the app for the month of October. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled into Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program and will enjoy credits on their purchases as well as part of the Vivid Seats reward. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. So do you want to be there while the Astros clinch in Game 6 or Game 7 of the ALCS and head off to their second World Series in 3 years, then you got to go to Vivid Seats and get your seats there. Hey guys, let's talk about sex. Really good sex. Remember the good old days when you're always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance, get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients such as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they'll work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can always be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants the extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew's prescribed in line and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships directly, they're cheaper than pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code MLB. Just pay the $5 in shipping. Again, that's Blue, B-L-U-E, Chew.com, promo code MLB to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. All right, welcome back to Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros. And Ben, where can they find you at?
Ben Dubose on Twitter. That's the easiest way.
Before the break, I kind of teased a question about could the Astros just do what the Red Sox did to us last year and just sweep the rest of the playoffs. I know tomorrow's game has Gerrit Cole, and then we have basically a bullpen game with Jose Urquidy starting, and then you're going to start again with Zach Greinke at Yankee Stadium, assuming that there's no rain postponements or anything like that. So do you think there's a chance the Astros can do that this year?
A chance, sure. And actually, when you look at the 2018 playoffs, I'm actually going to bring a different series for comparison. What I hope happens tomorrow, and I'm not saying it is, but it absolutely could. Remember the first round Red Sox series last year against the Yankees when they won, like, I can't remember the final. It was like 15-1, 16-2, something just completely laughable in that first round game three at Yankee Stadium. Remember that?
Yeah.
And the reason that I recall that, you know, the Astros were sweeping the Indians at the time, and a lot of us were hoping that the Yankees would win, so the Astros would have home field advantage in the ALCS. Obviously, that didn't happen. But that first game at Yankee Stadium, that's exactly what tomorrow is going to be in this setting. The Red Sox came out, and even though, you know, the Yankees had split those first two in Boston, they had taken home field advantage, all that type of stuff. The Red Sox in that first game just had an explosion offensively, and at that point it felt like, hey, they are the better team in this series. And that's what I hope happens tomorrow. Because the one consolation to me, and it's a small one, but just from a big picture statistical perspective, the Astros were still waiting on that offensive breakout. They didn't score in game one. They had just three in 10-plus innings in game two. This team is still due. They are too good not to have a game. You know, I guess the closest they've had to a breakout would be six runs in game one and game five against Tampa. But that was when, you know, game one had the two runs on the drop pop-up that Yuri had. And then game five was the tipping pitches situation with Tyler Glasnow. So I still think there's an extra gear. We've seen it throughout the year that if the Astros, and hopefully, you know, the one good thing from game two, even though they didn't break through offensively, they had a lot of really deep counts. I thought they were seeing the ball well. You know, even against Chapman, those ABs in the ninth by Diaz and Springer were really good. And so hopefully, even though the balls didn't find holes, they were seeing the pitches well. They recognized, they got deep into counts. What I'm hoping for, you know, similar to the 2018 Red Sox, you know, sure, you hope they can win all three, just like the Red Sox did against the Astros. But I also think at some point, this team is going to explode. I don't know if it's tomorrow, but I do think it's coming. And so the hope that I have is that maybe the Astros have the kind of game in game three of the 2019 ALCS that the 2018 Red Sox had in that same Yankee Stadium in game three of the 2018 ALDS.
Yeah, I hope so too. And I think the Astros are the better team. They have the better pitching staff, in my opinion. Not necessarily the bullpen, but we've seen that the Astros starters can go deeper in games than the Yankees. And it kind of brings up the next part. Did Aaron Boone pull James Paxton too soon?
I'm trying to almost go through this in real time. I know it's easy to say yes, and I can't argue with you if you want to say that, but I think in this case, because of the off day afterward, I don't have as much of a problem with it.
Right.
To me, that's the big difference, is that, you know, because you had that off day Monday, now certainly can argue that you got a lot of exposure, you know, that entire Yankees bullpen to the Astros, and that could benefit the Astros down the line. I hope that happens. But I think because of the off day, it's something where the Yankees were desperate. The Astros were putting together some really good at-bats early, even though they just had the one run on the Correa double we talked about. You know, they had two on in the second, two on in the third. And I think, you know, if there's an off day after, then Aaron Boone's going to be aggressive, and I doubt there's that many consequences to it. And that's the one thing to keep in mind tomorrow. You know, we'll see if and when there's a postponement for Wednesday, because right now, you know, there is rain in the forecast. If that happens before the game, then there's all sorts of trickle-down effects, because, you know, then if you have an off day the next day, then you're going to have both managers, especially the Yankees, because they're the team that doesn't have Gerrit Cole on the mound, that might be very, very aggressive using their bullpen in that game. The flip side, of course, is that if there is a postponement, then you're looking at having, you know, four consecutive games to end the series without an off day, and so that might make people more conservative with the bullpen. But, you know, to get back to your main question, you can certainly argue it because it was very unconventional, but I'm fine with it in this case because, you know, you do have the off day. And, you know, even though the Astros won the game, you know, they only scored two runs in what, like seven innings or so off that bullpen. So it's hard to say that they weren't effective.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Aaron Boone was kind of looking ahead, and he was just like, hey, I don't want the Astros to just light up James Paxton, and then we have no chance to win this game. So he probably made the right decision. I just think that they are carrying 13 pitchers, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
But there's been a lot of talk about the cheating aspect, and I would like to go through one playoffs without the cheating thing. But as Preston Wilson said, everybody cheats. And looking for a pitcher tipping his pitches, that's not really cheating. I don't know what's going on with Aaron Judge, and he was hiding something from like it was some printout about the thing. And I don't know if you noticed that yesterday, but I remember Yordan Alvarez was coming up to bat. It was like late in the game last night, and there's a new pitcher came in. I think it was J-Hap. So he came in, and somebody had a iPad, and when he saw that the camera was on him, he kind of got in front of the iPad to. This is Astros person.
Yeah.
So it just seems like there's a lot of suspicious things going on both sides. And I just wish they'll just play baseball.
I mean, everybody's trying to get every advantage that they can. I mean, I think it's just one of those series. There's so much on the line. But some of this, too, you know, it's, you know, to make a basketball comparison to, you know, the team that I cover. I mean, we all know the narratives that are out there about the Rockets and James Harden and the organization and some of this stuff, you know, quite frankly, because it's been an issue in the past. I think, you know, with regards to the Astros side of this, you know, there's a lot of proud organizations like the Red Sox and the Yankees that are not used to having, you know, a competitor not quite of their stature being as successful as they've been these past 3 years. So it's easy to wonder, you know, are they doing something not right? You know, the flip side, the Yankees and their 27 titles, there's a lot of built up resentment, you know, even if they haven't won one this decade against those guys. And I think a lot of this stuff, you know, it's sort of the emotion of real time when this comes out. You know, we all have our things during these games. You know, everyone knows me and tagging MLBUA to call out the umpires and those types of things. You know, we all have our things in real time without perspective that, you know, it's kind of a crutch that you fall back on. And then, you know, hours, days later, it's much easier to get perspective. And so I think a lot of this stuff, you know, it just comes with the territory. You've got, you know, probably the two best teams in baseball, certainly the two best teams in baseball now that the Dodgers are eliminated. You know, they're not exactly historic rivals. They both are a little wary of the other. You've had these big postseason series in the past. And I think it's just, you know, in the heat of the moment, you see something like that, and everybody gets just kind of on edge. You know, we are on edge. I mean, as you said, leading off, it's incredibly stressful. And so I just think it's one of those things, you know, it's frustrating. I'm with you. I wish it wasn't a storyline. But at the end of the day, I really don't think that it is. I think it's something that during the game, you know, you see Alex Bregman point at his head, or you see Aaron Judge, you know, try and cover up that sheet in the dugout, that printout, which was during game one. You know, everybody's looking for something because we're so on edge. But I think ultimately, give it a little bit of perspective. And unless there's some smoking gun, which I have not seen yet, I think ultimately this goes away. I think that's just kind of window dressing and a storyline while we're all on the edge of our seats during the game, looking for something to, you know, take our stress and anger or frustration, whatever it is, out on.
I want to take off out my frustration on Ryan Pressly for some reason. He just does not not look the same. He does not look like the same confident guy. And no, I don't mean like attack him or anything, but it's frustrating to kind of watch him pitch. And you can see that AJ Hinch doesn't really have the confidence in him that he did earlier in the season. And that could be something that could hurt the Astros. But then the emergence of Josh James has kind of negated that a little bit. So Brian Abreu looked a little bit human. Maybe that was just because it was his first playoff opportunity. But overall, I think the Astros bullpen is decent. It may not have the big names like the Yankees bullpen does, but I think that they can get the job done. So to close out the show, I wanted to kind of get your predictions for Game 3. It's a 3:08 start. So what are your predictions?
I think the Astros won it. That could be some wishful thinking, but I think Cole on the mound, I think the Astros' offense is due to break out. I'm not going to say that they have, you know, we talked about the 2018 ALDS comparison. I'm not going to say they go that frisky, but I'll say 6-3. Astros finally get some offense. I don't know that Garrett Cole is unhittable at Yankee Stadium. That's a really good offense, but I'll say Cole does something like, you know, 7 innings, 2 runs, and the Astros finally break out for 5 or 6. And to me, just the real difference, you know, you hit the nail on the head talking about the bullpen outside of Pressly, and we don't know if he's 100% healthy or maybe he just didn't get the reps late in the year. But what we saw in game two, Osuna, Harris, even Joe Smith, who pitched so well, Josh James, who, you know, you think about that Sanchez at bat, Sanchez looked locked in. He had so many, they fouled straight back. You know, basically, James got him out 3 times. I know the last was a makeup call, but, you know, you had the foul ball that hit the roof. That should have been it. Then you had, you know, the foul ball or call foul ball that was clearly a swinging strike. That would have been to the bat. So you have James locked into the big thing to me, to win close games on the road against good opponents, which, you know, inherently tend to be close. You have to have a bullpen. And unlike 2 years ago when they got swept in Yankee Stadium, because Ken Giles, Chris Davinsky, we all had kind of our trust issues at that point. It just feels like in this case, led by Harrison Osuna, but certainly Joe Smith, Josh James, there's others, the bullpen just feels so much more trustworthy this time around. So if the Astros have a lead in the somewhere the 1-3 run range in the 8th and 9th innings, I think there's a good shot that they can close out at least one of these three in Yankee Stadium, but hopefully more than that.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and go with a blowout tomorrow. I think that the Astros are going to win 9-2. I think that George Springer is going to break out for 2 homers. Then we're going to see Yordan Alvarez kind of start to hit again, and even Josh Reddick in his return to the lineup. So that could be wishful thinking, but I just think with Garrett Cole on the mound, the Astros are the best team in baseball. And it doesn't matter who they're facing, where he's pitching. If he can pitch like he's done in the first 2 games versus the Rays, there's no chance. So one last time, Ben, where can they find you on Twitter?
Ben Dubose on Twitter. And, of course, if anybody likes basketball, you can check out Locked On Rackets, which is the sister show to Locked On Astros on this Locked On Podcast Network.
All right. Well, thank you. And you're welcome to join whenever you want.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Eric.
Thanks to Ben for joining, and thanks for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya Podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast, Locked On Astros.